What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. We kick things off in the Premier League at Villa Park. Aston Villa in action against Liverpool. Liverpool would come from behind to take all 3 points and keep their hopes alive of qualifying, not even qualifying, of winning the title against the Manchester City. They are level on points then. Two remaining matches for Jurgen Klopp's side. City have three. They're, of course, away against Wolves on Wednesday. Well, for more on this, let's welcome in Mark Ogden. Before we get to you, Mark, I have to say, normally watching a Liverpool game with Stevie is a roller coaster of emotions with a lot of bad language. This one, Stevie, you weren't even, didn't seem that engaged.
Well, because it's over, isn't it?
But yesterday you weren't, it was over. You weren't quite as committed to the overness. But,
I was trying to convince myself that there was still a possibility.
Right.
But as soon as the game started, I think they call it an epiphany.
Oh hello.
I'll tell you what, that was a gamble. I have no idea what that means.
There's more to life than shepherd's pie.
I just realised that, you know what, this is done. Too many goals, a game in hand. I think about the opposition. They got Wolves, they got Villa. Who else they got? They got one more. Regardless.
West Ham.
Yeah. It's over. It's done. I'm sorry. So it's very difficult to have that sort of commitment that I usually have.
Wow, there you go. Well, that's just confirmation then of the remaining matches. Mark, are you in the same? Did you have an epiphany during this game as well?
I wouldn't go that far, Dan. I do think that Stevie's right. I think Sunday killed the title race, really. 5-0 against Newcastle. The goal difference made such a big difference. It needs City to slip up more than once. They have to lose and draw somewhere. I just don't see it happening. So, yeah, I think it's now procession to the title. And it could all be wrapped up by next Tuesday, I think, if Liverpool don't win at Southampton, providing City win. So, yeah, I think it's over.
How much does that affect Saturday, Stevie, if at all? Obviously, Salah was on the bench. Is he thinking ahead to Saturday?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, you'll see, if everybody's fit, you'll see Liverpool's first team
right.
in the FA Cup final. Simple as that, straightforward as that. And regardless, he probably would have played, you know, had they still been ahead in the title race, I think you probably would have seen this team as well.
Right.
Because on paper it should beat Aston Villa, it did beat Aston Villa, it wasn't the greatest performance, but they won. And so, yeah, I think regardless, he wouldn't have made any difference.
How concerned are you with the Fabinho injury?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, if Fabinho doesn't play against Chelsea, that's a bit of a hole that I don't think they're able to fill. I think the answer would probably be Henderson, but it would take a very disciplined display from him.
Right.
Because he likes to get around the field. And that position that Fabinho plays is about being disciplined, about having a little bit of territory that has to be made yours for the 90 minutes. So it's going to be tough if Fabinho's not fit. Don't let you fill it.
I'm sorry. Mane scored the winner, of course, Mark. What's interesting, like waking up today and seeing reports, Mane to Bayern Munich, Mane leaving Anfield. Where's all this come from? Is this come out of nowhere?
Well, we obviously know that Mo Salah's contract expires at the end of next season, and there's a lot of focus on that. But Sadio Mane's contract expires at the end of next season as well, and Liverpool want to, you know, negotiate with Mane. So it seems to me that this is a convenient story to put out there right now when Mane's looking for a bit of love, a bit of Salah love, a bit of a new contract. Liverpool aren't going to let Sadio Mane go to Bayern Munich. And I'm not even sure that Bayern Munich would be able to, you know, afford Sadio Mane. It doesn't really fit their profile either in terms of his age, you know, pushing 29, 30, I think it is. So I think that's just one of those stories that comes out every now and again when a player wants a new contract or wants to be told how much he's loved by the club he's at.
As our senior reporter, Mark, we've got to ask you about your allegiances and in particular your hatred of Manchester City because, of course, Pep Guardiola is convinced that everybody in the media wants Liverpool to win the league as opposed to City. This, of course, dominated the headlines over the last 48 hours in the UK newspapers. Where did this come from, Mark? Why is he saying this stuff?
Well, I think he's saying it because he wanted to deflect away, first of all, primarily from City being knocked out of the Champions League again, and he wanted to move the story on. So the best way to do that is after a win, deflect it onto Liverpool. But I do think that, you know, this is Pep's paranoia, and it's also a bit of mind games, you know, putting the pressure back onto Liverpool by focusing on them. But, you know, he's talking nonsense. I think what... The difference in football reporting is that fans always expect you to write in favour of their team. And the reality is you have to take a step back and obviously scrutinise, criticise, praise at times. And Man City have had loads of praise under Pep Guardiola. When they won the domestic treble, when they won the league by getting 100 points, they've had loads of praise. But I think he's really got to be in his bonnet with Liverpool because, and unfortunately, this is a fact for City and for Chelsea and the clubs that have come along in the last 10, 15 years. Clubs like Liverpool and Man United divide opinion. They're either loved or loathed because they've got such a history of success and they are the biggest clubs. Now, during Pep's time at City, Liverpool have gone for two, you know, fantastic storylines. The first title in 30 years, which they actually pulled off, and now they were on for a quadruple. So, as a journalist, you go with a story, and the fascinating story, the different story is Liverpool going for a quadruple. City at the minute have become almost predictable in the sense that we know what they're going to do. They're probably going to win the title most years. They win games with ease at times. And the only competitor right now is how they keep messing up in the Champions League. So if you're a journalist, you go with a compelling story. And the compelling story is Liverpool going for a quadruple or Man City blowing the Champions League again. So unfortunately for Pep, that until he changes that narrative by winning the Champions League, it's going to be the same again. And, you know, I remember being... covering Manchester City, Man United, but 10 years ago when City won the first title. Everyone was loving City. Everyone was saying what a great team story City were, the Aguero goal, because everyone was kind of bored with United winning it all the time. That's how it is. You go with the story that's the most compelling story. And Man City right now are the most compelling story. And just to add to that, Liverpool and Man United are such big clubs that Man City will never have that pull and that on the emotions that those clubs have because they've just got such a great history of and support that City haven't got that. And it'll take them 50 years to get that, if they ever do.
You know what he's doing? He's doing what Mourinho used to do when he was at Real Madrid and Guardiola was at Barcelona.
Siege mentality.
Yeah, he is sort of taking that behavior, spin a couple of years forward, but that is exactly the same sort of attitude, the same sort of message that Mourinho would put out and say, yeah, it's us against the world. Poor old Manchester City. Oh, my goodness. Us against everybody. I mean, come on. I understand that this is Captain Deflecto in some ways, but it is doing the same things that he was so very critical of when he was the manager of Barcelona and Mourinho was the manager of Real Madrid.
Meanwhile, of course, he'll have a big new shiny striker to play with at the start of next season. It was confirmed, Erling Haaland will be going to Manchester City. He'll be joining on July the 1st. Slightly different numbers were reported yesterday. It'll be €60 million for that payout clause. £375,000 a week, £19.5 million a year. And it is a five-year contract. Taking a look at the back pages, Haaland, of course, dominating them all, Mark. Looking at it, how exciting is this for the Premier League, first off?
Well, you can look at it two ways. It's exciting to have one of football's rising stars. You know, Haaland and Mbappe are going to dominate for the next 10 years. But on the flip side, if it means that Man City are going to dominate even more, then it's not exciting for the Premier League because the Premier League needs to be competitive. And it is right now with Liverpool, you know, on City's coattails. But if Haaland performs as people expect him to, City could blow everybody away. And that isn't great for the Premier League. It's great for them to have this great, you know, rising star. But, you know, I think we need to see other clubs kind of rise to the challenge now. And look, we've seen in the past that clubs that sign the big stars don't always win what they expected. The Real Madrid Galacticos were a case in point that they never won the Champions League that they were bought to win. So we'll see what Haaland does. I think that the guys will say that stylistically, does it really fit with the Guardiola team? That they're very much a team that likes to play possession. Haaland's great in transition. So are they both going to change? Will one change? So let's see how it works out. Ibrahimovic didn't work under Pep at Barcelona, so it may not be the success story that City hope it'll be, but I think it probably will be because he's such a great player.
Let's pick on Mark's first point. It's the point I raised yesterday, of course, about how this could be dangerous for the Premier League.
He got shot down in flames yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
Okay. Shot down in flames is an interesting way of describing it, suggesting that I lost the argument. Just because you all disagreed with me, I don't feel like I lost the debate, Stephen.
Oh.
I think
well, I would suggest that the people that you lost the debate to would be the
Well, Jan,
the
Jan was
concern.
In a bad mood anyway.
Oh, that would be the bigger concern.
Jan had gone.
Listen, if you lost the debate to the Three Stooges, then we might have some sympathy for
yes,
you.
Yes, this is 2022, Steve. No one knows who
know
those
what
are.
What they're talking about.
is it a concern?
Well, it is a concern in that if you have a dominant team, let's just assume that they become head and shoulders better than everybody else, then the intrigue and the drama of the Premier League is, and really the way that they sell themselves is that, yes, you have these 6-7 teams that can really compete against each other, and there's never an easy game in the Premier League. If indeed you have one dominant team, there are going to be a lot of easy games. Mm. Now, what I think is there's going to be a reaction from other teams. Liverpool, I think they're now in a race with Manchester City. It doesn't mean that they're going to go get a big name here and there, but they know that Manchester City has now raised the bar. So it's going to force Liverpool to come up to that level. So I'm not concerned that there's not going to be a competition, because I do think that Liverpool will keep up with Manchester City. The other ones, I'm not so sure. You look at Manchester United, and the difference between Manchester City and Manchester United is gigantic. You look at Chelsea. What is Chelsea going to be under new ownership? What kind of investment are they going to make? What direction are they going? Are they going the wrong direction, or are they trending in the right way? We don't know the answer to that. And so what it feels to me is that there's a separation of Manchester City and Liverpool, and then everybody else.
You want to say anything?
I don't see how you can turn around now and say that, because it's never been that way. It's never been a one-man band. There's no reason to think it's going to be, whether they sign Haaland or not. Liverpool, yes, will keep doing what they're doing. Chelsea's new owners have signed something saying they have to spend they're going to spend $2 billion in the next 10 years. Manchester United, yes, are way off right now, but with the money they have and the money they will always have, they will eventually come back. Now, I don't know whether it's 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years, but they'll come back. And then you'll have another type, Leicester type, or a West Ham will hang around for a season and go back down. I just don't see it. I don't see that it's obvious that a team like City, even with the money they have, and signing a guy like Haaland, is going to make for a bad competition. I just don't see it.
That's the argument, Mark, over the years. You look at Stevie's Liverpool, of course, dominated the 80s. You mentioned Manchester United. It's kind of cyclical, but because of the amount of money that is now involved, when we're talking billions of pounds, does that have the potential of breaking that cycle?
I do think that Haaland is a potential game changer for City, but also I think that he's going to a stronger league than the Bundesliga, and I think he will find it more difficult to score goals, and he'll be up against better defenders. He's up against the best coaches in the world in the Premier League, and I do think that the goals that Haaland will score will be taken away from somebody else in the City team. You know, Riyad Mahrez has got, I think, 24 goals this season, so you might find Haaland scores 30, but the wide men like Sterling and Mahrez and Jack Grealish won't score so many, so it may not be that dominant. And I remember, you know, Ruud van Nistelrooy scored loads of goals for Man United, but they didn't win that much when van Nistelrooy was there. So this, in many ways, it might actually weaken City in the sense that it changes the way that they play and they become so reliant on one player that they're not as dominant as they are. So nothing's guaranteed that Haaland will make City unbeatable. And I do think, like the guys say, Liverpool will step up. And I think Man United, I think they hopefully bottomed out at the weekend at Brighton. And this may be the spark they need to actually kick themselves back into gear and get back to competing again. So maybe, you know, in 2-3 years, United will be back. Arsenal, Tottenham, we don't know, but I'm not sure this Haaland move will actually mean that City become the dominant force. I think it makes them strong in Europe, in the Champions League, but in the Premier League, I'm not too sure. I think Haaland might be surprised at how tough the Premier League can be.
But they are a dominant force already, Mark, aren't they? They look like they're going to win their four out of five leagues and can keep going now to be favourites next season with Haaland as a nice addition.
I mean, them and Liverpool are dominant. I think you look back at the turn of the century when Man United won a lot of titles, Arsenal were always in the coattails, and everyone talks about this great rivalry between United and Arsenal. I think 9 years they won all the titles, but Arsenal didn't win as much as people think, but it was still a great rivalry. So, and it was eventually changed by Chelsea coming along. So, you know, City are dominant right now, but Pep Guardiola won't be there forever. And when Pep goes, there will be a dip, because how do you replace Pep Guardiola? You know, in talking about irreplaceable players, you've got an irreplaceable coach there. So the time will come when Man City will find it difficult. It's inevitable that there will be a drop-off at some point. But I think right now, you know, they're in the sweet spot of their dominance, and Erling Haaland probably helps add to that.
You mentioned United. How are Manchester United fans feeling about all of this as well, on top of everything else that's going on, Mark?
Yeah, I think what they regret is the fact that they had Erling Haaland in the room 2-3 years ago, and they let him go to Borussia Dortmund because he wouldn't sign a release clause in his contract. And I think that, you know, if United had been bold, they'd have thought, well, you know, we'll sign Erling Haaland and we'll make him stay because we'll win things and we'll give him new contracts and make it impossible for him to leave. But they missed that one, they bottled that, they let him go to Dortmund, and look where they are now. So United are in a bad place at the moment, but I do. The noise is coming from within the club, the changes that are being made. I think there's a realisation now that's dawned on them that things have to change. I think they are changing, but obviously you won't see a great improvement overnight. It will take time, but I think Ed Woodward going is a big thing, a positive thing. And I think the fact that Ralph Rangnick will be gone soon is another positive thing. A few players will be gone. It is, you know, start again at Man United, but they are starting from a level whereby it can't get any worse, surely.
Well,
we talked yesterday about what we're expecting from Haaland's first season. Uh-huh. 30 goals seem to be the line in all competitions.
Yeah, that's realistic. I had him at 30 goals all competitions, 23 goals in the Premier League.
Let me know, Cam.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into this. He has 21 goals right now in the Bundesliga.
He's been injured half the time.
Yes, and so, but we assume that this is going to be tougher competition in the Premier League. And so I'm going to suggest that, yeah, 23 goals in the Premier League, you get a little more because he's not going to be as injured. Who am I to predict that? But I'm saying he's going to stay fit. He's going to play more games. And then because it is tougher defending in the Premier League, he's not just going to jump out there and score a bunch of goals. I think 23 goals in the Premier League will be good enough.
Let's take a look at some other notable transfers that have been reported over the last 24 hours. It's all starting to snowball up, isn't it, now, ahead of the transfer window opening in the summer. You take a look at some of them that have been reported. There you are, stretching until this game. You can tell.
Good job, Dan.
Adeyemi signed with Borussia Dortmund from Salzburg for €38 million. Rudiger set to join Real Madrid from Chelsea on a free $400,000 a week for 4 years. And Konrad Lahmer, Bayern Munich, prepared to bid €20 million to Leipzig for him.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Barcelona all but guaranteed second place in La Liga on Tuesday with a 3-1 victory over Celta Vigo. Aubameyang back on the score sheet with a brace. Memphis Depay find the back of the net as well. They are well clear now of third and fourth place. Of course, no catching Real Madrid, already champions at the top of the table. Ali, how do you see this game?
First, let's begin with some tactical changes that Xavi was making out on the field, where we saw Jordi Alba kind of talking inside the way that we see Joao Cancelo do for Manchester City or Zinchenko do for Manchester City. So whenever they were in possession, they talked to the inside and he became an additional number in the midfield. That lasted a little while in the first half. It wasn't quite working. Defensively, they were all over the place. They were creating all sorts of mistakes. Celta de Vigo were finding all those spaces. So they went back to, hey, let's just play with the back four. We'll try to figure this out in the future. Then after that, what I thought was important is Dembele. 1v1 situation, when he's isolated, the skill level is not in question. We've already mentioned that. Is the final decision and the final product. He found Memphis Depay a couple of times. He found Aubameyang a couple of times. Dembele, when he's able to deliver that pass or make the correct decision at the right time, he's unstoppable. Consistency then becomes a question. It's important to get Memphis Depay goals, and it's also important to get Aubameyang goals, because Aubameyang has proven to be with Barcelona that he's not going to get involved a whole lot in the buildup, but if he's scoring goals, you don't care what he's doing or not doing in the buildup. You care what he's doing inside the 18-yard box.
You know, Aubameyang back on the score sheet today. Stevie, we discussed yesterday the possibility of Barca signing Lewandowski, didn't we, in the summer. How hard, if you're Barcelona, do you push for that, or how much do you rely on Aubameyang and then look at other positions, you look at the defence in particular, that needs strengthening?
Well, I've got to say, football clubs shouldn't have any sort of sympathy for anybody on the team. It's about making yourself better. And if you've got Lewandowski available to you and he wants to come to you, then you sign him. Yes, they do need other things, but when a player of that ability comes along and actually wants to go to you, and you can sign him and you have the money, regardless of who else you've got,
right,
you take him. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree, it's a no-brainer, and it's an upgrade. The issue is that when you look at the totality of Barcelona and you look at the big picture of who they are and some of the issues that they have on the field, they're very clear to see. And the center-back position is a problem. Right-back position is a problem. Who is the backup to Jordi Alba? That's an issue. Through the midfield, do you find then depth behind Sergio Busquets? There are questions all over the place for Barcelona. It's not just one position. So, for a team that has been well-documented, has their issues financially, do you then go and say, well, we don't care about those financial issues, we go and chase it with Lewandowski, and we don't concern ourselves with all the other holes that we have? Now, I agree, it's an upgrade. And if he's out there, you go and get him as long as it makes sense financially. Don't continue to make mistake after mistake after mistake and try to chase it again and not cover and address other issues that you have on the field.
Dembele out of contract at the end of the summer. Do you give him a new one?
No, I don't. And I have been very consistent. Unlike Ousmane Dembele, I have been very consistent with that approach. Here's the thing. Ousmane Dembele, over the last, I would say, 2 or 3 months, has given you every reason to think, yes, this is the guy. This is the answer. This is the player that we thought we were getting. Are you choosing then to ignore what he has been over the course of 5 seasons? Is that what we're doing now? What is the true Dembele? The last 3 or 4 months or the last 4 or 5 years? I think the answer for me would be the last 4 or 5 years. And while the talent that he has is it's dangerous. It's dangerous because as a coach, you fall in love with the talent and you say, if you're Xavi, hey, it's been me.
Right.
I've changed them. And so now, because I've changed him, I'm going to get the best out of him from here on out. I wouldn't fall in that trap. Again, don't go chasing this guy and address other issues that you have on the field. Ousmane Dembele wouldn't be the guy in which I put all my money into.
Barcelona with a comfortable win home against Celta Vigo, winning by 3-1. After the match, Gemma Soler caught up with Xavi and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Let's talk about this win. You were 4 forwards in the start. It looked like it was a little bit difficult, those first minutes.
Yeah, but I think this is not about tactics. We struggled a bit, I think, in the first half because we lost a lot of simple balls. But I think we were effective. Memphis scored our first goal, so I think this was important for us. And then I think in the second half it was a bit better.
Yeah, you were very direct, very effective. Yes. It's something that you've missed at some point this season, so it was a comfortable win eventually.
Yes, definitely. I think we were really effective, and I think this is important. When you are Barca, you have to score goals. And this is what we did tonight, so we are happy for the win.
I was checking your stats. You arrived here on February. You are top scorer with Memphis with 13 goals. It looks like you've played here a long, long time.
Yes, I'm really happy, to tell the truth. I'm really happy, and I have to thank everyone since I arrived here in Barca because they welcomed me very well. So, yeah, just happy.
You scored twice today. The first goal was kind of acrobatic. How could you do that?
Yeah, I think Memphis did a great job, and he passed it to me. The defender touched it, and I had to shoot with my left foot. But I think I slept a bit. I don't know how to say it in English. But anyway, I was a bit lucky on that touch, but it went in. So this is the most important.
You have almost the second spot secured. Mm-hmm. So everyone is talking about next season. How do you imagine next season? Would you like to be here next season? What do you expect?
Yeah, of course. I expect. A big Barca, it has to be like this. We're back in the Champions League, and this is really important for the club. And but of course we have to work a lot to prepare our season well, because I think for sure it's gonna be tough. But obviously there is so much talent in the team, so we have to keep improving and keep working. And I think we will do our best.
But the whole season, it was difficult for you, I guess, in the beginning, because you were not playing in your other team. So you look very happy now with every game.
Obviously, I'm very happy. It was not an easy start of the season, but now we're here. My focus is here right now. So, yeah, really happy.
Let's talk about this victory, because the system was a little bit different for forwards. It was the beginning of the game, it was a little bit difficult, it seemed.
No, we tried to play 3-4-3 today, because they play with two forwards, two strikers, really clear. But we didn't play well. We were not comfortable on the game in the first minutes, so I changed. I changed immediately, maybe in the 15-20 minute. Between this minute, I changed the system again in the system that we usual normal 4-3-3, and then in the half time I changed again with one more midfielder. No, we didn't play well. We have to be honest. We didn't play well, especially in the first half. In the second half, okay, we had more control, but we didn't control the game in the first half. Celta played really well today, but at least we were effective. So sometimes we are not effective and we play well. Today is the opposite. We didn't play well, but we were effective.
Worst thing on this win is was that moment with Ronald Araujo. There was a lot of concern.
Yeah.
We were told he's doing okay.
He's fine. He's fine. He's okay. He will be in the hospital this night, but he's fine. He's okay. He will be okay tomorrow for sure. He will be at home.
It was yet another great game for Dembélé. He's the top assist in La Liga. How important is Ousmane for you?
Well, today and in many games he made the difference for us, and I'm very happy. A good performance, also Memphis, Aubameyang, even Ferran, and then Ansu, good minutes. So I'm happy for the effort, for the attitude of the players, but we didn't play well today. This is the truth.
Last one. Yesterday in press conference, you mentioned that you needed reinforcements to be back to be competitive next season. Today was official Haaland at City. They talk about Mbappé at Real Madrid. What do you think your team needs to be competitive, top level next season?
First, play better. To play better, and then we analyzed what happened in this season, and then we will organize the team for the next season. But we are still competing in this season, and it's very important for us to keep the second place.
Gemma Soler with us now as they turn out the lights at the camp now. Gemma, let's talk about Ousmane Dembélé. Of course, two assists today. Contract ends in the summer. You asked Xavi about it. He kind of gave you a normal general answer. What is the feeling amongst the Barcelona camp about whether or not they're going to offer him a new contract?
Hola, Dan. Well, Barcelona, they are offering a renewal, a new contract, actually. I've been told that both parts want the same thing, But the numbers, the figure that both parts have are still very different. The financial situation of Barcelona is really complicated. Ousmane Dembélé is asking for much more for a top level player salary, and Barcelona cannot afford that. He wants to stay. He's been playing the best football of his career here in Barcelona in the last 6 months, much more than the previous years. He's happy now, he's comfortable. But he wants a better salary than what Barcelona are offering. So I think it's going to be quite complicated for a player that, if of course you take into account the last 6 months, he's a top player. As I was mentioning, he's the top assist in La Liga. He has had 10 assists only in 2022. But if you take the 4 years, his numbers are not so good. So Barcelona are examining everything, and they are putting an offer in the table that his agent, he's not happy enough with that. So his future is really uncertain, Dan. We will have to see. But for Xavi, he's very important, because let's remember that the club asked Xavi to put him on the stand, not to make him play, because he didn't want to sign the renewal. And he didn't listen to that, and he's in the start every game.
Gemma, great stuff as always. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty more La Liga matches to come tomorrow, and we'll be looking back at them, plus those crunch Premier League ties, on the next edition of the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Well, Mark's been on, and Gemma. Gemma's going to get some dinner. Mark, though, returning for Extra Time, which is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Where's our Extra Time thing?
No.
Come on.
Oh,
no. It's all ruined.
We had such a great thing going.
Yeah, exactly. Ali's here. Stevie as well. Mark Ogden picking his nose.
That's
beautiful.
Great.
That's
all
what
right.
We need to see in
good
our
job.
Life.
Scrunchy.
Mark, what's that picture behind you? I don't think I've asked you that before.
I took it in St. Petersburg last year at the Euros. It's midnight in St. Petersburg. Quite busy.
Oh, look at you, arty, Mark. When you look at Mark, you think,
yes,
arty photographer.
Yeah.
Okay, we got our Extra
good,
Time thing
it?
Back.
Good.
I took it
yes,
myself.
We're back.
Woo! Mark, how do you think Harry Kane is feeling right now? With Manchester City signing Haaland, where else could he go? Is he basically stuck at Spurs, prison for life?
Well, being stuck at Spurs is not exactly being stuck at Spurs. I mean, they could be in the Champions League next year, so it's not the worst place to be. I think if Man United were in a better position, I think that would be a good opportunity for Harry Kane. But is he wanting to go to Manchester United right now, considering the situation they're in? He's better off at Tottenham. So where does he go? You know, Bayern Munich might need a striker soon. But look, City was the obvious one. You know, a real left field one, I think that if Liverpool wanted to keep pace with Man City, they could go for Harry Kane, because I think he would make them a better team. I think Firmino's kind of, you know, being phased out now. Look, Harry Kane would be a fantastic signing for Liverpool, but I don't know if they have the money to do it. But I think he's fine at Tottenham. I think Tottenham's a good place to be right now, Dan. Sorry, I've done that.
Harry Kane?
Absolutely take him.
Really?
Don't know about Tottenham being a good place to be. Seriously?
That's worst places to be.
Oh, there's worse places to be, but
could be United.
If you're Harry Kane, one of the best strikers in the world, you're running out of time.
Yeah. Quickly.
Yeah. And you want to be winning things. Are you really going to be winning at Tottenham?
Right.
I don't think so.
Oh. But you take him at Liverpool?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Yeah?
Yep.
OK. Mark, why do people blame City for spending the available resources? I don't remember this level of hate about Chelsea, Blackburn, when they had an influx of cash. It's cheap complaining. Oh.
Pretty sure Mark cannot hear you, Dan.
Well, that's fair enough. I think he's now texting someone. Stevie?
I'm not so sure there is there really that amount of people that hate City?
No, I don't think that.
I would think initially people might have a problem with the money, but I'm pretty sure that watching them play takes you in a completely different direction. I can't remember the last time I thought about money when I was watching City playing. I was too busy enjoying what they were doing on the field.
Oh, enjoying the show.
Oh. Oh.
Is that Mark saying hello to me or hello to the world? Oh, he's not back yet. That's good. It's on the phone. Oh, yeah. I'm still doing this stupid show. Yeah, they're asking me about my pictures.
Don't they know I'm a talented photographer?
I don't think they were being sincere. Ali, discussion of one-legged semi-finals, adding teams, scrapping the group stage for a table, playoffs. Why does UEFA keep trying to fix what ain't broken?
Yeah, this is beyond me. I don't think that we sit back and say, man, this Champions League, this really stinks the way that they're playing.
No, we're quite the opposite. It's the best competition in the world.
Well, correct. So when we talk about the second legs and the excitement and the energy and the intensity and all this stuff, I'm just like, why even think about all these other different options when what you have in front of you may just be the answer, may just be the best thing.
Have a guess.
I'm going to go with money.
Oh,
hey!
They're not trying to fix anything. They're trying to squeeze more money at it.
But surely you make more money from two-legged ties than one-legged.
Then sponsorship and all the rest of it and bringing it... The only thing you know is they're doing it to make more dough. They're not doing it because it's broken or anything else.
Right, they want money.
They want money.
Well, right.
Yeah, well, think about this, Dan.
Yes.
If there isn't in the semifinals, which is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, to have like a final four.
Yeah, like a final four type thing. That's not going to be at a team's individual stadium. No, that's going to be at a neutral site.
Yeah. And which UEFA take over.
Uh-huh. And who's going to be the beneficiary of all of that?
Yeah.
Not the three of us. Yeah. Not Mark, whenever he gets on the phone.
No.
UEFA.
Yeah. There you go. Mark's back.
Hey!
There we go. Mark, first off, just going back to the question I asked you before it went wrong. Why do people moan more about City spending money than they did, for example, Chelsea or Blackburn?
I'm not sure they moan more about Man City. I mean, I think Chelsea got a lot of grief at the time on Blackburn. I think it's just social media is a bit more heavy duty now, isn't it, in terms of the noise. But I think people look at City signing Haaland, and it's a bit like, you know, those people who can buy the new iPhone the day it comes out because they can. You know, it's like, let's just do this because we can. And I think fans are a little bit, you know, they're probably fed up at seeing City get all the best players. You know, Grealish went there last summer. It's Haaland this time. You know, they have missed out on a couple, but if City want to get a player, they tend to get him. So I think the fans of United, Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal thinking, can they ever compete again if City are in the race?
And also we discussed UEFA. Why do they keep trying to mess around with the Champions League, Mark?
I think that when they went to Lisbon for the COVID Champions League, I think they were surprised at how many people got excited by the quarterfinals, the semi-finals, and it just planted a seed. I don't think it's a good idea. I think last week showed us the second legs in Spain were just amazing. I think to lose that second leg, that jeopardy and the thrill of a second leg in a two-legged game would be crazy. But like the guy said, it's about money. I think if you have it boiled down to one game, you know, they can add the sponsorship to it, you can make the ticket prices greater, you can charge probably venues to host it. but it's a bad idea. I think it should stick as it is, and you know, two-legged semi-finals all the way. And bring the away goals back, by the way.
Oh, why? Hey, we're finding it for the City Real Madrid game.
Why? I just think it makes it more exciting. I think it's a test of the skill of the manager, of the players. It adds a different dimension to it. You know, I think you should be rewarded for scoring an away goal. I'd rather a tie be decided by away goals than somebody missing a penalty in a penalty shootout. I think it's more of a football decision maker. I just think, you know, if you go away from home, you score more goals than the other team do, then that is a good way of judging a drawn tie.
Well, why does Mark hate people that go get an iPhone when they can?
Well, Stevie, obviously, is first in line when all the iPhone comes out.
I've got my name down already.
Yeah. For Mark, how do United and Ten Hag go about persuading players to join the club this summer, especially if they don't even make the Europa League?
Well, money. Money usually works. Man United pay bigger wages than most teams. That's always the big criteria. But I think, obviously, if they're in a race with teams that are in the Champions League, it'll be harder to get those players. So they're going to have to appeal to the players that, you know, playing for Man United is still a big thing for a lot of players. They have to find a different kind of player. And let's be honest, the sort of players they have been able to sign when they've been in the Champions League and paying big wages haven't exactly delivered. You know, there's a long list of players that over the years, certainly since Ferguson was there, have been disastrous. Di Maria, Martial, Alexis Sanchez. I mean, we can talk all night about the players that have failed to deliver. So it may be a good thing that United have to lower the sights and get players that have got a bit of hunger. I mean, the example I use is Liverpool signing Andy Roberts from Hull, you know, a guy that was relegated at Hull, went to Anfield with all the hunger and desire in the world, and he's now probably the best left-back in the world, or one of them. And I think United need to find some Andy Robertsons that will go there and see it as a massive opportunity to become a top player at a great club.
Ali, will Vinicius Jr. end up with a better career than Neymar?
This is a really good question.
Ooh. There you are, Jerome. Congratulations.
This is a really good question. Neymar is a more talented player than Vinicius Jr. But there's been a change in attitude and maturity for Vinicius Jr. that we never really saw from Neymar. And this has happened earlier in the career for Vinny Jr. So if the trajectory continues in that direction, I'm going to say in terms of results, yes, Vinny Jr. will have more achievements in his career than Neymar.
You think, Steve?
I think in 20 years' time, it's going to be... We all understand that Neymar has more talent, but it's going to be one of those... Oh, where did he get... How did it go wrong? Why did he not fulfil his potential?
Are we talking about Neymar?
Well, absolutely. It's funny how straight away you knew who I was talking about.
Well, no, I just think, why 20 years' time?
Because they'll both be finished, right, and then they'll be pulled up as comparisons,
right,
and it'll be, I'll tell you what, Vinny Jr. absolutely got everything out of the talent he had. He won this, he won that. Whereas Neymar's going to be, wow, what a player this guy could have been. He could have been like this Ronaldinho, or he could have been like somebody else.
Right.
That's what's going to end up happening with this guy.
Do you think we'll still be here?
In 20 years?
I could be looking down somewhere, but
better than up. Final question. Which national team manager is most likely to return to club football right after the World Cup? Which national team manager is most likely to return to club football right after World Cup, Mark? Deschamps, Southgate, Enrique, Roberto Martinez, and what club would be a good fit?
I think Luis Enrique. I think that once he gets to the World Cup with Spain, he'll have done a Euros, he's done a World Cup, and I think, you know, there's a guy that's won the Champions League, he's won a domestic treble with Barcelona. I think he would be at the top of everyone's list. He would have been, I'm told, the Man United front runner had the World Cup not getting in the way. So if Erik ten Hag doesn't start very well, maybe he's at Man United in December. But you know, I think Enrique is the guy that everyone will want if they're looking for a manager mid-season or end of the season. I think you could add Mancini to that, but they hadn't qualified, so he's probably looking for a job sooner rather than later.
Oh, a little dig at Gab, and he's not even here. Love it. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow, reflecting on some of those crunch ties in the Premier League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.